Blog Talk Radio.
I see a few pockets of people that ain't acting crazy. Because I'm here live.
Get it back live.
About half of y'all motherfuckers on the hill are doing your thing. Are y'all ready to get live or what?
Get it back live.
We gonna set this off right or what? It's Friday night. We'll see. I'm the cream of the crop. I rise to the top. Never eat a pig.
Welcome to the program, everyone. Oh, wait a second. It's a double whammy day. It's a double whammy day. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the program. And for a minute there, I thought my mic was dead. I'm hoping it isn't. But we'll see. Let's bring in our two, well, I should say our three buddies. The three amigos are here together. How's it going, gentlemen? Mike?
I'm not sure if Mike's there. Is he there, Mike?
Argos.
No, hold on. No, I have to clear my throat. Hold on.
Okay.
9-4! Thank you. Sorry about that in your ears. But as I said last week...
I've heard of Freudian slip, but I've never heard of futuristic slip.
Yup. And it was a sweet
well,
one.
It was
I
a good
say.
Call, John. Good call.
You know what? I'm gonna pat myself on the back on something else, and it's not one of those good things that I'm happy about, but did I not say that Riley would not survive playing the way he does? And what do you know? It has to happen against the Argos, you know. But that's just something that was kind of obvious. You know what I'm saying, guys?
Well, poor guy.
I mean,
You know what, John? I agree with you, but on this score, the way it happened is not outside of a normal quarterback's world.
Okay, hold on a second. The way it happened, what are you talking about? He was trying to gain yards like any other quarterback does. He was trying to strive forward like any other one does. The point was is that he got
That's what I'm saying. He wasn't doing anything Riley-ish. He was still, you know, around,
he
the
was
line
doing
of scrimmage.
Absolutely everything Riley-ish, Frank. He was running. He was running more than his running back was, and he paid the price. Unfortunately,
I mean on the very play, though. Am I mistaken that on that play it was more or less a sack? More or less?
No. I think it was a 3-yard gain on that play.
Was it a gain?
It was a 3-yard. Yeah, it was a gain. He got knocked out. And then they actually got the first down, which on the next play he went for the touchdown. So, you know,
well, that's
anyway,
true.
It doesn't matter.
On the next play.
The good news is Argos. Yes, 4 games in a row on the road, guys, breaking CFL history, you know, not breaking, no one's ever done it. So you can't break it. First timers to ever do it.
Well, the
4
closest
consecutive road games?
The closest a CFL team has come is 2-2. Everyone else has come home with a losing record. The other
yes.
two teams.
Well, you know what? I like to see the stats on them winning 4 in a row with a backup. What's the stats on that?
Well, I don't think he's a backup. Not anymore.
I'm just saying. Technically, he is. But
a backup is somebody that maybe plays a quarter here and there. Kolaros is what, on his fifth game? He's played five games as a starter?
Yes, well,
he has a better record than Ricky Ray? He has a better record than Ricky Ray?
Well, we're not going to count that loss against Calgary where he took over 5 minutes into the first quarter. Okay, we're not going to count
we're not going to count it against Ricky either.
Well, we have to because you're not counting it against Kolaros. So I am counting it against Kolaros. Kolaros played 95% of the game. So I'm not sure. You know, starting is not the objective. Is if
well,
he played 51% of the game,
five and
he
one,
played
right?
the game. Ray did. What's that?
What is he? 5-1. You count that game?
Okay. Yeah, he's 5-1. If you count that
game. I got to clear my throat. And the Argos are 9-4.
Yep.
So that would be Ricky Ray with 9-4. That would be Ricky Ray 4-3.
Yes. It sounds good to me. I don't know. I can't agree with you on the math on that, but it sounds good to me. It sounded good to you, Mike?
Yep.
Okay, there you go. Winner, chicken dinner.
No, hey, listen. No, but the important thing is to remember, and I don't think any of us will disagree with this because as football fans, we know that one player doesn't do it all. One player can have a devastating impact on another team, but the table has to be set for that player with a good team playing with them.
Well, you know, we can break it down, guys, as far as how crappy they played in the first half of every game on the road. Perhaps maybe not that crap against Saskatchewan. I think that was their best first half that they had on the four-game road trip. But the numbers that Kolaros has, if you just look at the fourth quarter stats, are too freakish. I think he was like 33 for 38 if you count only the fourth quarters in the four games. Okay?
Wow.
That's just too much. I mean, too much for me anyways to understand. No interceptions. And it's just ridiculous the numbers that he comes up with in the fourth quarter. And to come up with 23 points and shut down Edmonton completely in the fourth quarter, wow. You know, and guys, Chad Kackert back in the game.
The Kackert, you know, is back.
One thing at a time.
Because I've got all the stuff listed.
It's all one thing, Frank. It's an Argo win, bro.
Okay. No, I get that. That's all good. One at a time. And let Mike and I insert some opinions in the middle of all those wonderful topics, which I have listed on the show. You know, so it was a successful road trip, destroying the West in an incredible way, enough so that now the Argos don't look like a weak sister in the league and fortunate to be in the East. Mike, is that a fair statement?
Absolutely. Yep.
Right. And what makes it so? What do you think made it so, this road trip? What was, outside of the obvious, where we're all going to talk about how great Kolaros has been in this, you know, in the second half. For example, I'll prime the pump this way and say that this road trip was great because of the defense. Patrick Watkins was a wrecking ball,
man,
against Edmonton. How does he make it look so easy?
He, you know, the thing was, in the beginning of the year at training camp, he had missed that time, and he seemed like he wasn't totally in shape the beginning of the year. And when I listened to a couple of interviews, he said he wasn't quite 100% yet, and I think now he finally is, and it's showing, because I didn't even remember him being this fast last season, to be honest with you. You know, he just seems like a step or two faster than usual.
I think it's not just about speed, and John can speak to this as well because he knows the Argo players really well, but the bit that I know about Patrick Watkins...
Are you sure you want me to interject my thoughts, Frank? Are you sure?
Oh, don't be that way, John. Come on. Let's all get our two cents in.
Hey,
we'll
brother,
all be happy,
when you
right?
throw it out there like that, let me and Mike interject our thoughts on it. Give me a break. You know, I'm speaking. Now you want my thoughts? All right. What do you want,
no,
Frank?
I kind of want him in a way that it's, you know, yin and yang, you know, that we all, you know, that we all have a conversation.
I can't help it, Frankie. I can't help it. It's live. It just flows off my brain and off my tongue, and it spits out. And I got no script, so
okay,
it is
no,
what it is, brother. It's an exciting win. You can't shut me down.
There's a script there. There's a script there. There's a script.
Oh really?
There.
I didn't get it, Mike. Did you get a script, Mike? I never got that forwarded meeting.
Are you able to look at the where the page is, where we're, what we're talking about? You can't see that.
Yeah, you know what your page says, Frank? Your page says the one that I got a reminder from blog. It says, "Listen to John Granger and Frank talk about tomorrow's game on Tuesday." Okay. So,
well, that shouldn't. That again. That's what I'm asking. That's why I'm asking. Does yours say the same thing, Mike?
No, I'm at the, the Blog Talk page. Yeah, I see what you mean. You got a 9-point list here of what we're
yeah,
talk.
Exactly.
I don't get that. I didn't get that.
Well, that's okay, buddy.
So.
It's there, John. It's just not, like you said. You're right. Both interpretations of the situation are absolutely correct.
But you're
looking at the link I sent, which sometimes that's what happens with Blog Talk Radio. It doesn't put the one that I already wrote up. And where Mike is actually at the player, and he can see it at the player. I think that's what's going on. Right, Mike?
Yep, that's it.
Yeah, okay.
I'm glad that came up because it confuses a lot of listeners out there. Like it does me, and
well,
I'm wondering what's going on. So I'm glad we talked about it at least.
It confuses me that this thing this doesn't work the way it's supposed to, but I can't control that, which is why I asked the question. And so the first thing I wanted to talk about was the successful road trip through BC, Saskatchewan, Calgary, and Edmonton. The first team in CFL history to go through a four-game road trip, winning all four games for the first time in CFL history. The best before that was 2-2. I wanted to talk about that first, and the road trip was successful because the Argos are incredibly coached, and the players are incredibly accountable, and the coaches are incredibly accountable as well. Scott Milanovic always keeps repeating that any failure that Kolaris has, he takes responsibility for because he feels they're not setting them up right. And I wanted to ask that question because how important is it, this road trip, the victories, how much credit do you give to the coaches? It's very easy to talk about Kolaris because of his numbers. It's very easy to talk about the defense because the defense is so good. But how about those coaches? I mean, I think that's the biggest reason why they do well in the second half. It's the adjustments this team makes. They're incredibly able to adjust to anything that a team throws at them. And that's what we witnessed, I think, more than anything in this road trip. Mike?
Yeah, no, John, go ahead. I was actually munching on some cookies here.
No problems. Coaches, as I said, against the Saskatchewan game, I think this is, prior to that game, I said this is where they come in and really kind of pull these players together. It's one of those things where they have to get everything out of them, especially when you were facing the Riders going into that stadium and the atmosphere and so forth. I think they proved their money's worth in that game alone. Okay, the players came out and they performed in the second half. I think they performed pretty decent in the first half too of that game, but the coaches came out and they've been doing their job the whole year. It's these are the effects of good coaching, like you said, Frank, and the results of good coaching, and really coaching in a way that it doesn't matter what players are in there, they're going to get it done. Whoever they got in front of them, they're going to teach them to do the right thing.
And they have a coach on their staff that was there when Barker was still coaching, and I thought it was a really good move for them to actually kept him on staff, and that's Bob McAdoo, the offensive line coach, and I think he's done a great job of just changing the philosophy of the offensive line. If you notice, I think from what I could see, it looked like they were doing more of like a man-on-man sort of blocking, and now they shifted to more like a zone. And if you look, you see the line kind of almost in unison shift either right or left depending on what direction Kolaris is going to go, whether it's a rollout or whatever he's doing. And the other thing, too, is Kolaris actually fits better in the current situation because Ricky Ray is kind of like, how can I say this? He'd be like a royal, like you ever been to like a royal dinner and they have to have the table set just right with all the right utensils in place and everything is put in a specific order. And I think Ricky Ray is the kind of quarterback where the offensive line has to set him up perfectly, where they have to give him at least 3 to 4 seconds to let him go through his reads and make a pass, where Caleros can make the line look good because he can just with his legs buy time, move around, shift the pocket. He doesn't give a, you know, like a statue to sit there and wait for the defense tee off on. And we saw that with Calgary. You know, whenever you get a team with a good, you know, defensive line like a Charleston Hughes or whoever, they'll just destroy Ray because, sadly, the offensive line, for whatever reason, seems like it regressed from last season. And Calero is the perfect antidote to that.
Well, let's be fair here, okay? And you're talking about a quarterback that's 10 years older.
Yeah, no, I'm not knocking.
Right?
I'm just saying,
I mean,
Ray's
no,
a guy.
No,
like,
I'm agreeing with you.
No?
I'm right. Agreeing with you in the sense that Ray is an older quarterback. Wiser, yes. More experienced, yes. But less mobile. There's no doubt about that. You're 100% right.
And, and Caleros is sort of like almost made Ray's experience almost like pointless now, because what does experience usually give you? Experience gives you a person who's able to be clutch and perform in tight situations in the fourth quarter because they've been there and done that. But Caleros, like John pointed out earlier, he's been fantastic in the fourth, and it's like he plays like an experienced veteran in the fourth quarter when it matters the most, when most guys who are inexperienced usually, you know, tighten up and the butt cheeks get real tight and they get scared and all of a sudden they choke up and throw an interception. But the kid, he's got ice water in his veins. So, I mean, I don't want to say the Argos should get rid of Ricky Ray, but the Argos, to me, better should think long and hard about what they're going to do with Caleros, because he's going to want to hit the market. The new CBA is coming. He could make a ton of money. But then the Argos, I feel like they should try to hold on to him as their long-term quarterback, you know, the
they
heir
can.
To whenever Ray. But
they can. After the draft, they could sign him.
He's not gonna sign in February. You know, like Dave Naylor was on TSN and he was saying how a lot of free agents are gonna wait until maybe closer to the springtime once the new CBA is ratified, because the cap's gonna go up, so a lot of the top end free agents want to wait, and once the cap goes up, they can obviously cash in a lot more. So,
well, isn't Caleros one of those people?
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. Like he's
yeah,
not gonna
no,
want
I agree
to resign.
With you. I
he's gonna
want
to hit the market.
I agree with you. What I'm saying is that if he wants to remain in Argo, he can orchestrate that.
Yeah, true.
Right?
No,
it can be orchestrated.
I mean, if you were him, though, would you want to wait another 2 or 3 years versus going
no.
to anywhere else?
No, he's not
going
to have to wait 2 or 3 years.
Really?
And
Ray's going to hang it up before that?
Well, no, it's not just that. Let's look at something. I'm going to throw this out there and agree or disagree. Ricky Ray is a wonderful quarterback. Scott Milanovic is a great quarterback coach.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget, Ricky Ray's sitting on the sidelines, and don't be thinking that he's listening to his music list during the game. He's wearing a headset for a reason. He is part of what's inside Caleros' head. I'm not here trying to strip any credit from Caleros, but I'm a team player. Always have been, always will be. And, John, that's part of the reason what I said before, okay? But anyway, John, how much input do you think Ricky Ray has into what's going on here? We see him with the headsets each week. He's there traveling with the team. He looks like it has a mic, too, so he's talking to somebody. How much of a contribution do you think Ray's making to this successful road trip? Zero to what?
Well, I'll get to that one, but I want to add my 2 bits on the Calero situation again.
Go ahead.
Again, guys, if this game did not prove to you what I've been saying all year long, the kid does not have accuracy long field, okay? He just throws it up there and hopes for the receivers to do the job for him, and that's fine, and that's his weakness. Once that gets dissected, okay, if Ray doesn't come back soon, then he is beatable, and he is definitely beatable in the first half. These guys, if the defense, and I don't want to, you know, start arguing and putting the Argos defense down or the offense down, but if the opposition's defense, okay, just plays these guys man-to-man and don't worry about the deep threat, I wouldn't worry about it. Inman was overthrown. Everybody was being overthrown. He's throwing the vicinity. He's awesome. Anything less than 20 yards, 25 yards, he is awesome. Okay, he nails it. He puts it right in there, you know, just threads the needle, all right? But
yeah.
Downfield, that example, Edmonton game. Oh my God!
Yeah.
I don't think we caught one downfield. All right.
Well, even the touchdown that was the last nail in the coffin to number 88, our buddy, he had to come back for the ball, and almost didn't have enough time to turn around and go the other way.
Oh, the one
like
against
said,
Calgary.
The one in Calgary. My apologies.
Oh,
that's correct. The one in Calgary.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, he's weak on the accuracy when it comes to the long ball. His mobility is great. That's A plus.
Isn't that something that can come with experience and practice?
Oh, mm-hmm. Frank, you know what? Yes and no. I would think that considering how many starts he's got, and how many reps he's getting, no, I just don't see it. I haven't seen anything that solidifies him as a good long ball thrower. Okay, nothing. So far, nothing. Earlier in the season, when we won that game against BC, two or three of those touchdowns were all receivers.
Yeah.
Okay? So,
No doubt.
So, again,
G. Roy Simon broke the record on
what I consider not a great class either. Hold on. Caleros, by the way, guys, you were talking about, is he staying or going? He is going to be left on the block to be taken, okay? They're going to protect Ray. That's the obvious. And it would be in Caleros' best interest to see the kind of interest that he would receive on who wants to pick him up, free agent or expansion. Either way, his opportunities from a business point of view, from a quarterback's point of view, especially the fact that he's backing up a Ricky Ray, his best interest would be to check out what's in the market. Plain and simple.
But John, you know the answer we have to get, Mike. I don't know if you can get it or I can get it, but an answer we have to get, specifically talking about Caleros. If Caleros has a contract that expires, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And upon the contract expiring, he becomes somebody that's on their negotiation list from somebody who's signed by him, right? Follow me what I'm saying here. Mike?
Yeah, no, the negotiation list only applies to players, you know, that haven't been signed yet that are in the States. But in his case, you know, he's totally free.
No, I get that.
Restriction. Right.
Okay, so he's a total free agent. So
I know what you mean. There's a window, I think it's about until about February 15th or 16th, around that point, like that there actually is a window where the Argos can still sign him and no one else can. I think that's what you mean, right?
It's what I mean because I'm trying to – the question I'm asking is the real question. That is part of the question. That sets up the real question. The real question is he at that point until, like you said, until February, is he part of the Argos that can be picked by Ottawa or is he in this limbo?
Oh, yeah.
That now
he can
no
get
longer – you know, you get my question?
Yeah, he can get drafted, and then Ottawa would then be in position to negotiate until February. Exactly. Yeah.
So it all ends up with what I'm thinking is that if he wants to remain an Argo and he feels his career is better suited for being behind an injury-prone quarterback, sorry Ricky, and then that's what he'll do. Do you know what I mean? Like it's not a bad career move. You know, to be in an organization like Kavilo was, you know, like every great quarterback, you know, part of what makes them great is they know the team to go to. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know, great quarterbacks have the intelligence to know that I'm going to put myself in a position where I can best be successful.
It's great that you brought that up, too, because if you look at all the great quarterbacks now, your Burrises, Cavillos, and you look at, like, their careers, they all were with one team, and then they switched up, and then the second team that they chose in free agency was the team that they ended up having the most success. Like, Burris was with the Riders, then he, you know, went to the Stamps, and you know what happened, and then Cavillo, the same thing. He left the Ticats. He was a promising backup there and went to Montreal, and he made history. So I think Caleros is probably going to do the same, where he takes the experience he had here, enjoys what he did in Toronto, uses that as a, you know, to present to other teams.
A springboard.
Right. I think him and Ottawa just looks like a match made in heaven. Especially for him, I think it matters who's their coach. If they get a good offensive-minded coach that he can feel like will put him in the best position to succeed, whether it's Marcel Belfay or Marcus Brady or whoever it might be, then he would do it. But otherwise, his only other option was Winnipeg, and I think he'd be smart enough to avoid that grease fire, any day of the week. So.
Well, I think this is my personal opinion, and I see it happening. Burris, who's a free agent at the end of this year, is going to get picked up by the Red Blacks, and so is Caleros. Okay, they want to take the East division opponents' weapons as much as they can, and Ottawa is going to. Their best interest is to go pick as many possible potential players that they can dissect from the East division teams, the teams that in their division. Also, taking a quarterback from the East gives the advantage of the Red Blacks already having a quarterback who's familiar with the East, who they play more than they do the West team. So Burris is going to get really – yeah, Burris or Glenn from Calgary are going to be heading over to Ottawa with Caleros probably as a backup. That's just the way I see it.
I mean, I could see Glenn or Burris going, but there's no way Caleros is going to take another backup job somewhere else. Like, if Ottawa does that, he's going to go to Winnipeg and start in Winnipeg. Like, if Caleros leaves Toronto,
you know
he's going to start. Otherwise, he's better off staying in Toronto and just waiting it out for Ricky Ray.
What
That's
about
Ricky Ray getting out?
You guys, have you been listening to what they're saying in Ottawa and what the fans have been saying and what the general consensus is out there, the actual quarterback they want? What I've been hearing, and this might be out of left field, guys, but they're talking Lefevre out of Hamilton.
What?
No.
Come on.
You heard me.
That's like they might as well go get Justin Goltz, too, while they're at it. I mean, come on. What's up with these guys?
You don't
guys,
think Lefevre's
big...
a real deal?
Oh, no way, man. He's Justin Goltz with a little bit more accuracy. That's it.
So he would be the guy instead of Caleros, because let me tell you, it's going to be a veteran quarterback and a guy who's got potential, and it's going to be going that route. The Red Blacks are not going to go with two junior quarterbacks who had maybe like four or five starts during this year. Okay, that's not going to happen, guys.
I agree with you 100%, except for one little flaw in that theory, and that is the Ottawa Red Blacks have a little bit of time to buy where they could get two young quarterbacks that compete with each other. And I'm trying to remember, who was it back then, even in Ottawa, where they had two young quarterbacks? Wasn't it J.C. Watts and Clements together?
Yeah, Tim Clements and
They were an expansion team. They were an expansion. They had linebackers who were veterans. They had the defense was awesome, and those guys just filled the spot.
I understand that, but I'm just saying that Ottawa wants a great quarterback with a future, and I'm just saying it wouldn't hurt them I'm agreeing with you that it sounds great to go with a veteran and a young stud, but they can afford to go with two young studs. They can afford to go with two young studs.
If Burris is on
the market, Burris is going to be in Winnipeg. That's what Naylor's already putting out there, that Winnipeg is already – he's pretty much their number one target.
But I'll just let you know. It'll be one veteran starter who's starting this year, who has started games, who's a veteran. Maybe he's injured, but he's a veteran. He's going to be taken by Ottawa, and they're going to have two backups who played this year really well, Caleros and Mitchell. You know, it's up in the air. Mitchell? I'm thinking of the Calgary guy.
Yeah, Mitchell. Yeah,
Mitchell,
you think Calgary's going to let him, Calgary's not going to protect him?
I'm just telling you guys, it all depends on a lot of scenarios, who's left out in the free agent market, who's going to be protected. That scenario we can't really kind of guess at until, you know, the team sign who they want, okay? And that's not going to happen like February.
If old Levi Mitchell's available, forget it then. Caleros might as well just stay in Toronto, because if I'm Ottawa, I'll take Mitchell over Caleros.
Really? Because how many has Mitchell won four road games for Calgary? No.
Think about your critique of Caleros. Like, you talked about his lack of a deep ball accuracy and everything, and, you know, like, at times he's kind of, even on short passes, he's kind of inaccurate. But when you look at Bo Levi's 23, Caleros is, I think, 25. Bo Levi's got a cannon for an arm. Like, he's just as mobile, and he's obviously proven himself in games as well. And he's coming from a great system in Calgary, where obviously he's going to learn from one of the best coaches in the game in Hufnagel. So to me, it's sort of, you know, if he's available, when you factor in his how much younger he is and how much, you know, I think he has more upside. That's the guy, but I just don't see Calgary letting him go. I mean, Huffnagel knows he's got a diamond right there. He's not going to let that just slip away.
So do you think that they protect him then? Because that's what they'll have to do.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. What are they going to lose in letting – I mean, Ottawa's not dictate. Seriously.
Yeah, and what about Glenn? They're not interested in Glenn either.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Glenn at this point, I mean, what are we saying, really? You know, unless you have
Glenn
a good
got his big shot.
Set of receivers and offensive linemen, he's not a guy that's going to lift up the team. He's just going to sort of let the playmakers do their thing. And in Calgary, he looks good because he's got a great offensive line and he's got fantastic receivers. So if he goes to Ottawa and their line is so-so and they don't necessarily have a lot of great playmakers at receiver, I don't know.
The subject, as far as Glenn's concerned, he had his shot here in Toronto at the Grey Cup. He froze. He got way too nervous, blew his chance, and cost Calgary the Grey Cup. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, that's what I saw, and I don't think Ottawa's going to see anything different.
So,
Glenn, I don't
Glenn's
think...
Glenn's more to blame than, what's his name, John Cornish?
Oh, absolutely. 100%. He wasn't able to pass himself out of a paper bag. And you know... it, you know... No. Glenn... Glenn,
Greg, you're not
Glenn,
holding back any punches tonight, man.
No, well, no. I mean, you know what? Is it true or is it not true that Glenn was hopping around in the pocket almost like with total insecurity during that game?
Yeah. I mean, that was
okay.
Part of it had to do with Marcus Ball and Robert McCune and E.J. Kwale just like bearing down on him.
And the Canadian defensive player of the Grey Cup.
Wait, who's that?
Ricky.
Oh, Ricky Foley, yeah. God.
Yeah.
Man. That's so sad, though, that they broke up that defense. Just why in the world they let him go, I have no idea.
Are we talking about the Riders now?
Funny. Yeah, now, okay.
Are we talking about...
No. We're still talking about the successful road trip that the Argos had and why they had it. We talked about the quarterbacks. We added a subject. We talked about the Red Blacks. Who might they get as a quarterback? So to close out that subject... I figure I'm going to go with Lefevre just to be different than you guys. Mike, you're saying, I guess, Kolaros is the guy who has the most interest both parties to be in Ottawa?
Yeah, that's unless Mitchell from Calgary is available.
John, and you think Bo Levi Mitchell is the guy that's going to be in Ottawa or Kolaros or who else?
Yeah, well, Kolaros, I think, is definitely going to be going, and another veteran. And then they have their pickings from whoever else is available, which is, like I said, Mitchell is an option. And they're looking at that. Montreal, again, so many hypotheticals still out there. but as far as performance,
yeah, no
why
kidding,
goes,
no kidding.
If I was the GM of Ottawa, I mean, you know, Kolaros, without question. And then you want a veteran. And then I think Burroughs will be available. But then again, Winnipeg might snatch up Burroughs. Who knows?
I got to ask you, John, because I get the feeling that, you know, you're not as sold on Kolaros like me and Frank are. So just honestly, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being obviously Ray and Cavillo at their peak, 1 being Max Hall and Justin Goltz, where would you put Kolaros?
I guess I am sounding like that more and more. Again, guys, if you give me a scale, I consider Kolaros as an 8 full quarterback potential and is doing the job. But
okay, potential or at
obvious.
This point? John,
yeah, right now.
I think
John.
Right now, John. Where is he right now? Let's not talk. You're okay. You know what, Mike? I think what he's saying is that his potential will max out at 8.
Okay. No, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm giving him 8 as a full credit because he's coming back in the second half. How can you give him a full, like, 9s or 10s if he's losing first half and he can't throw the long ball, okay? Tackert, to me, saved the game on a few rushes that kind of got us a nice couple of first downs. If it wasn't for the defense coming up with the fumbles and the interceptions... There's so many scenarios. It just played out right for him. No, he's not the whole package yet. I'm sorry. Compared to Ricky Ray?
Understood.
Come on. Half.
Like
half.
Okay,
John.
I think
me and
raise
Frank will probably
10.
Agree that he is an 8. I'm with you on that.
I'm with you on the 8. I'm with you on the 8, but I can see him becoming a 10.
Wow, really? 10,
yeah,
10
Ray,
being like he'll be a
10,
future Hall of Famer? That's what
if Ray is a 10, if Ray is a 10, let's say Ray is a 10, right? I can see Kolaros being a 10.
Wow.
I said I can
see
go that far, Frank.
That doesn't
mean
it's going to happen. Is a 10. Kolaros is a 10 on his mobility, okay?
Kolaros is a 10 if he learns to throw the long pass. That's
okay,
why
where,
you know.
Okay, so
look,
where would you guys put Henry Burris then? Because if Cavillo and Ray are both
Henry
Burris,
I would put Burris at about 9 maxed out. He would never be. He'll never be a 10.
Wow.
Okay.
He
can Henry
be a Hall
Burris
of Famer,
to me,
but he'll never be a 10.
I gotta dissect it different, just like with Kolaros. Burris to me, the strongest arm in the CFL, 10.
Mm-hmm.
I give him on that. Okay. His accuracy when he is in the pocket and he's under pressure, he's a freaking 2. Because he throws too many interceptions. He's not
That's
fumbling.
It. That's
it.
Where I'm coming from. I'm on board with John on that. He throws too many interceptions. He throws, you know, to me, I'm sorry guys, but to me that what makes a quarterback regardless of the numbers that they throw out there. It's the touchdowns to interceptions ratio to me means a lot, because what you're doing is get touchdowns. You're throwing like John. What could end up happening to use your guy Kolaros, it could get to the point where the defenses get a read on Kolaros, and if he decides to start throwing long passes, he's going to have a lot of interceptions, and that to me is going to take down his ability, and his rating, his quarterback rating, the way we're doing it, 1 through 10.
Yeah.
And that's why I don't think Burris is a top-notch quarterback. His interceptions are costly. They lead to losses.
Burris would be outstanding if he had a front line that can give him a lot of protection. Okay?
Yeah.
But as soon as he gets heat in the pocket, he's a scramble head. He just can't focus. I think it has something to do with his contact lenses and his sight. I really truly believe that. I don't know if you guys want to go with that flow, but it's just the guy, when he's in the pocket, he's under pressure. Look, the proof is in the pudding what he does.
Great,
all right?
Quarterback.
He's a great
quarterback.
Again, if he had Saskatchewan's front line, he would be better than Durant.
Okay, so that being a perfect segue, let me just set the table for both of you then. So the Argos are 9-4, Ticats are 6-7, Montreal's 5-8, right? The Argos, if they beat the Ticats on Friday and Montreal loses, the Ticats will officially clinch the number one seed. And so that will lead me to the question.
You mean Toronto will clinch the number
one
seed?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Did I say Saskatchewan?
Yeah, okay.
The Argos will clinch it. So that leaves my question for both of you. How do you see Friday night playing out?
All right. I'll go first, Frank, on this one.
Go ahead.
Well, all right. I will. So, Friday night. This is a playoff game for the Ticats. They're going to go in trying to do what they do when they come to Toronto, and it turns into a playoff game instantly. The season opener was a playoff atmosphere, and they played really, really well. Now, everybody's been fine-tuned. They're a better defense, okay? We still won't have Ricky Ray. Evidently they're not going to use him. Chad Owens, I hear, is coming back for this game.
Well,
again,
he's practicing.
He's
practicing.
He's practicing, and he's got the gear on and stuff, so that's the assumption anyway. Do they really need him back there again? Maybe if they were 0-1-3 on the road trip, probably. But I don't even see him needing to come back. The Argos, this is what I'm afraid of, guys, is one of those things where, again, they don't play well at home. This year anyways, and this might be a kind of a thing that they might kind of not take as seriously because they had a good road trip, but I think the fact that it'll be a big crowd, which we've always talked about, Mike brought it up last year, Argos play well when there's a big crowd, okay?
Yeah.
And I'm hoping they're going to show up for Friday. Hamilton, I wouldn't be surprised, guys, really, I wouldn't be surprised if Hamilton comes out guns and blazes and tries to really, really, really enforce everything they got in this game. The fact that they don't have Ricky Ray, Toronto doesn't have Ricky Ray, I think they're going to need to take advantage of this. If Hamilton loses here, they're in deep shit. Okay, deep. And the tie cast.
Nah, I don't know. I don't know that they're that deep. It's Montreal they got to worry about, and Edmonton,
yeah.
Right? That's it.
Yeah,
well,
they'd be eliminated from getting the top seed. That pretty much. This is their only chance at trying to make it at least competitive. Otherwise,
right? They have to sweep the Argos home and home.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what happens. I'll tell you right now, the two teams are going to split the home and home.
Oh, really? Come on. No.
Yeah,
way.
They're going to split. They're going to split the home and home.
Wow. Okay. So how do you see Friday night playing out?
I see the Argos. Listen, here's what I'll tell you about recent experience with the Milanovic Jones teams, okay, is when it comes to Hamilton, when the game matters, it doesn't matter who they put in. They play really well. If Hamilton wins on Friday, it's going to be a last-second thing. It's not going to be a romp. It's going to be a tough game. And if the Argos lose in Toronto, they will go into Hamilton and win. And the reason I say that is because every time the game matters, the Argos find this magical little thing. It's what I call the new Argo bounce. They just, it's incredible how their hard work, it pays them off. And they do work hard. And I happen to think Patrick Watkins is going to put another little check mark on a couple of reporters to suggest that he will be the defensive player of the year. I don't know how much more that guy has to do.
Yeah, there's one guy standing in the way of that, though, in Montreal by the name of Chip Cox. I think.
Yeah, he's got a lot of great numbers, I admit. Yes. It's between, in the East at least, between him and Chip Cox. You're 100% right. I should take a step back a little bit because I have to realize and think about the games I've watched where Chip Cox has been a real impact player. He really has.
He just killed my Riders on Sunday. I don't even know.
He sure did. That's what I'm talking about. I hear that.
I don't know if you guys have checked this out, but if you go to the CFL.ca and next to the, you know, you have there's a button you can click for tickets, right, for the Ticats Argos. And if you click it, it takes you to Ticketmaster. And I don't know if you know, but Ticketmaster has this little thing where you can actually see how many seats are currently available, like on the actual map exactly, you know,
like
they show.
They show you the black dots.
Yeah, exactly. And it looks like this is the most seats I've actually seen sold this early for an Argo game. It's like the whole section behind the end zone is basically sold out. Your section, you guys are 134B, right?
Right. If you look above the first,
you guys maybe got like 10 seats left. That's it for the most.
Okay. Yeah. Frank's gonna be surprised. I didn't want to tell him. Our whole section is full of union people. So the Argos have sold, I'm not going to mention the union, but they sold a whole block of tickets to all union people in our section. So
I'll guess it's going to be a good one. The electrical union?
Okay. You'll see it when you get there. You know, they do their own thing as far as that. There's a whole bunch of different unions coming, but the one in our section should be a good one, a bunch of rowdy guys. So it should be fun. And, yeah, after being away for four games, I think that the Argo front office had some time to sell some tickets. And with this road trip, you know.
I think the Argos don't have to take it.
There should be a ton of Ticat fans, right? Don't you think?
That's why John's saying it'll be a big crowd, right?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, there'll be a lot of Ticat fans that like watching a game indoors.
So, John, you said last time a sellout would be 31,000? That would be a sellout? Cause they only
consider
the
about 31,000 a sellout 31,000. In both bowls,
Are you guys suggesting that if 40,000 wanted to watch the game, the Argos would tell them they were sold out at 31?
Well, because the upper deck is tarped off with all the little advertising banners.
No, it's not.
Frank,
not all of it.
Come on. Don't embarrass me on radio, dude. You should know this. The upper level is closed off. It will not be opened up. They don't service it. There's no usher, security, nothing. If it tops out at 31,000, they're not going to open up the top. That would have to sell out. In order to organize that for Friday night, the Argos would have to sell out the lower bowl and the upper bowl right now. because the staff for Rogers would have to hire them, call them in for a Friday night game that they were not scheduled to have additional people work in the remember, concessions, washroom people, security,
right.
ushers. It's not that simple just to open it up. It isn't. So,
But John, won't the Rogers staff be looking for work? Because, you know, the Blue Jays had their, you know, their September swoon.
Oh, no.
There won't be that much of a demand. There won't be that much of a demand, Frank. Even, like, I mean, guys, if it hits 29, I'll be ecstatic. Okay?
Oh, okay.
That's
all
what
right.
they had for the home opener. It was like 29,800. They almost hit 30. So you think it could happen again, or you're expecting less than that?
Well, no,
it's
I'm expecting that. Yeah, I'm expecting that crowd. I'm expecting the Argos would have had probably 24, 25. It was just a typical Friday night game against some other team. And there's going to be about 4,000 to 5,000 TICAF fans hopefully coming to this one. If they can travel to Guelph and bring 10 to 12, I think they're going to come to a cozy, nice stadium where they're going to party on a Friday night downtown Toronto, no doubt. They'll come in their school yellow buses in droves. You'll see. They go first class.
I believe you. No, I agree. I agree. Hey, John, another thing. And by the way, Rob J.
Emery's
not
waiting. That was a burn, Frank.
Huh?
Frank, by the way, that was a burn on the TICAF fans. They don't go first class. I just said they go in their school yellow bus. Anyway, forget it.
Yeah, it doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter to me. Even if we go in that,
it
would be a shame.
It matters to me, okay? It matters to me, okay? All right? It matters to me. I want TICAF fans to know. You suck. TICAF suck. TICAF suck.
I get it.
Okay?
I get it. And save some of that energy for the game. So basically, the TICAF.
When have I ever been known to have no energy? Give me a freaking break, Frank. Anyway, go ahead, buddy.
I never said you didn't have any energy. Holy mackerel.
You said save that energy. I don't need to save that energy. I'm calling your show to burn it all up. Come on.
Okay.
Take my advantage. Okay. You know what, Frank? I can't do this for you. I can't be a snorer. Okay? I can't do that.
That's okay.
If you don't like the high energy, right? Sorry, Aaron.
Holy mackerel.
Sorry.
Holy mackerel.
The kid
holy crap.
Is hot
All right.
tonight. Oh, yeah.
All right. So,
go ahead, Frank.
Yeah, I guess. So have we got a name for this Argo team, a nickname for this? They're like the Aorta Attack Argos? They're calling them the Cardiac Kids.
You know what I call them, Frank?
A winner.
I call them champions.
Okay.
They're the Grey Cup champions.
Okay, they're the defending Grey Cup champions. Now, we talked a little bit about Patrick Watkins. So just in conclusion to Patrick Watkins, is he the best defender on the Argos? John?
I was going to say yes, but there's one other guy that's really stepped up the last couple of weeks, and that's Marcus Ball. The first half of the
Ball
year, the guy
is my
looked,
man.
Yeah. He
Ball
looked kind of, I don't know
Ball
what happened. The first half of the season,
defender.
He was so-so, but he really stepped up huge his last couple of games. And
dude, number
you know,
six. Marcus
yeah.
Ball, he is, to me, their defense. Okay?
Really? Yeah.
To me, this guy, he is just into every freaking play. He jumps over to our sidelines on our section and wants us to get more pumped up. You know what I mean? This
right.
guy, I love the way this guy plays. Marcus Ball, to me, is the defensive guy. I love that guy on that team, on our defense. It's just outstanding. The other guys, I love him too, but Marcus, this year, dude, you are, in my eyes, and I watch the defense a lot, he's doing it. He's doing it, and I'm glad you brought him up.
Yeah, and he's so versatile. That's the thing I love about him as a player, the fact that you can send him in the box, stop the run, he can blitz the quarterback, and then he can drop back in coverage and, you know, intercept the ball with
Mike,
the best of them. I mean, the
guy Mike, you know
fantastic.
What this guy does that I love the most?
Yeah.
He
yeah.
hits so hard, okay?
Yeah.
I've seen Argo defenders give up on plays. Last year, unfortunately, one of them gave up, got fired, and he passed away. He was a Florida kid. He passed away in Florida. I can't remember from what, but they let him go because he gave up on a long ball that he lost. The guy burnt him, and he just didn't bother even pushing him out of bounds. He just kind of gave up on the goal line. Marcus Ball, this guy, unless your knee is down, he's still going to go for you. Okay, so that Riley hit, I know Marcus Ball had nothing to do with it, but these guys, how can you tell a football
Leo
player
Lance.
To back off? You know? Anyway,
right.
guys, sorry. Anyway,
I
don't want
was,
to go back on Riley.
I think it's when Brandon Isaac got cut. I don't know if that maybe lit a fire underneath him or maybe put more pressure on
Marcus
him.
Ball?
But,
Marcus
yeah,
Ball?
No. Yeah,
no, Marcus Ball's always been, what you guys are saying, he was I'm the only reason I'm saying Patrick Watkins at this time is because of the because basically up until last week I would have said Marcus Paul as well. I'm just saying what I'm saying about Patrick Watkins because he really has, you know, become the guy that was advertised, that the Argos were dying to come back, didn't ask any questions about what went on, you know, in his personal life that caused him to not make it here in time. They didn't punish him for not being here late. And I can start to see why they didn't. They really needed him. And it's coming true. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that up until the last game, I would have said Marcus Paul was your best defender. But Patrick Watkins, the last game, he was just a dynamo.
Do you remember that play, the interception? I think it was the second one on Kerry Joseph.
Would jump straight
up? The one where the guy, he's basically trailing the receiver, right? And in most cases, I understood why Joseph threw that ball because most DBs, right, they're like 5'8", 5'9", 5'10". And in most cases, when you throw that same pass, that was a completion. But it's funny like how you see his go-go gadget-looking arms just shoot up, and all of a sudden the guy's like, he looks like he's like 7 feet tall. Right, and it's just, you know, you can tell, like, quarterbacks are just not even used to having a 6'5 defensive back there because no one else is even, you rarely see anyone else over 6 feet tall, and it's just, it's such an advantage. And it goes back to Chris Jones, man. He did that in Calgary with Brandon Browner and, you know, Dwight Anderson. He always wants big, physical defensive backs that can play people man-on-man, and when he finds one of those guys, he can...
That can move.
I mean, he's getting... I wouldn't be shocked if Watkins goes back to the NFL, and he's going to have Chris Jones to think, just like Brandon Browner in Seattle.
That can move. He can move. You know, he isn't a detriment to the defense if he has to run, follow a route. He doesn't fall far behind in a route with one of those speedy guys as well. His ability, it reaches different levels, in so many ways. He's not slow, he's very fast, and he's very long, which is unusual for a long guy. A long guy, usually I don't picture long guys as being that fast, but he has the perfect body for what he's able to do. He maximizes the ability that he has, that God gave him.
So what do you guys think of Jahlil Carter? You think he's been, how do you rate him so far?
Leon Sandcastle.
What?
Nothing. That was a joke. Never mind. That's a joke between Jahlil and I. I think he's great. He's a quiet defender.
Do you consider him like an elite defensive back, or is he just more of a liability? Because it seems like it's in the same game, he'll go from one play looking great to the next play, I don't know.
Don't you think, though, that has a lot to do with the fact that the Argos have been very effective under Chris Jones, that the mistakes that are made are more visible? You know, when you have, we've already discussed the fact that Ball is such a wonderful defender. What a great defender. Watkins is turning into the kind of guy the Argos anticipated. And now you were going to gauge other players against these two guys. These are two guys that are hard to believe are on one team, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, that's why, and this to make my point further, that's why I think Chip Cox looks so good.
And I know we didn't talk last week, but what did you guys think of that hit Khalif Mitchell put on John Cornish against Calgary? You saw that in the beginning of the game?
What about the hit that Khalif Mitchell absorbed in the Edmonton game? I hear you, buddy. The Canadian Football League is not known for size, and especially not known for size that's mobile. This year, more than any time, I can't believe how many big guys are so fast. And this is why, guys, this is why I picked Edmonton to be an improving team over the second half. You know, it's too bad for them they ran into the Argos, you know, when they did.
Oh my God, you still have a hard on for Edmonton, Frank. They bet Winnipeg, you know. They didn't beat anybody that showed any signs of this team turning around. They caught the Argos in the first half sleeping. They got nailed for a couple of bad turnovers and shit. But please give up on Edmonton, you know. Now with Riley out.
I'm not. I'm not. I think they've got a good. I think they've got a good management team. A little bit of a hothead for a GM. I love Cavis Reed. I love the young players that they have. I truly do. I happen to think that they've got a lot of good young players, and I'm not giving up on them.
Well, you keep loving them all. You just keep loving them all the way to the bank, okay? Because if you're betting on them, you're not doing too well. So, and by the way, Riley's numbers are deceiving. Riley's numbers as a quarterback have been catch-up numbers, meaning that he's getting all those yards throwing long balls in the fourth quarter trying to catch up from a 25 deficit, all right?
Yeah, you're talking what the CFL analyst said, that he's a desperation quarterback. Most of his yards are desperation yards.
Well, if they said that, then they're absolutely right, because that's exactly what he is. So he's not the first guy who's had great numbers on a shitty team, because the shitty teams always, quarterbacks always end up throwing long balls at the end of the games.
But isn't that the same definition we have for Burris? Isn't that fair to say about Burris as well?
No, Burris is just crappy
in
the pocket.
Burris got all those numbers last year. Remember, his defense was so terrible, they basically had to throw all game long, remember?
Yep.
Yeah, last year.
They're desperation yards. I agree. But what I like, John, it's for me, when it comes to players in sports and in football in particular, I gauge the success that a team has, and their players by heart. And Caleros has a big heart. Riley has a big heart. Ricky Ray has a big heart. These are guys that, Calvillo in his prime, at 41, I think it's fair to say he's not in his prime. Bolivar Mitchell is going to display that same kind of heart and intestinal fortitude. That's the kind of stuff that makes players great. Ball, the guys we've mentioned tonight, Ball, Drew Tate. This is what makes guys great. Not Drew Tate. I wouldn't put Drew Tate in that team.
Right.
You did get me. I almost bought into that one, you bastard. That's what happens when you're on a roll. Some people throw little anvils in the way. Nice one, Mike. I appreciate the attempt. Yeah. Okay, listen, guys. Before I forget, let me bring in one of our newer friends to the show. Robbie, how's it going, buddy?
Pretty good, man. You?
Okay, good. You had a couple of anecdotes you wanted to add some of the conversation we had. We were talking on Facebook. Here's your chance, buddy.
Yeah, I heard Mike was talking about Henry Burris going to Winnipeg, and I was thinking that all week. I'm like, you know what? Marcel Bellefeuille is the offensive coordinator out in Winnipeg. He was the head coach here out in Hamilton, and him and Burris probably have a good little, good playbook.
Rapport.
Together. Rapport. Yeah, that's it.
Rob. I don't think Mike was saying. I think I brought that up, as I recall, about
it doesn't
going
matter.
Either.
Let him go on.
Winnipeg or Ottawa?
John. It don't matter. Someone brought it up, and that's what's going to happen. You're going to see Henry Burris in Winnipeg next season.
So who's going to be the quarterback in Hamilton?
Lefevre.
Lefleur.
Lefevre. The guy with the hot guy, the fever guy.
So can a guy be a franchise quarterback if no one can say his name right?
Absolutely.
This is coming from a guy
who introduces himself as Mike, and then I finally find out this guy that's been trying to friend me. I don't even want to go near trying to say your name that you have on Facebook, Mike.
Yeah, but that's different. I'm not trying to be a franchise quarterback, you know.
You're one of my franchise guys.
Fair.
That's
right,
my
but
point.
Still.
That's
yeah,
my point.
You.
What does it really matter? You're joking. I get you're joking. But seriously, on real terms, it really doesn't matter where a player comes from. It doesn't really matter what color they are. It doesn't matter where they were born. What really matters is what they got, and I'll go back to what I said before. It's gut check time. That's what I'm looking for. When it comes to a ball player or any athlete, it's gut check time. What do they do when all the chips are on the table? And that's what I like about the Argos. And that's up to be honest with you, Mike, and I don't mean to be offensive, but that's what I don't like about Saskatchewan, because they fold like a cheap tent.
Oh, God. I knew you were going to say that. But
well, you better
I guess,
believe I'm going to say it, because that's what they look
yeah.
like right now. They look like they folded under pressure. I mean, come
all right,
on.
Well,
with all the
talent
that they've
change,
got.
Let's change topics on that one. Robbie, how do you think your Ticats are going to do this Friday?
I think they're going to pull it out. They're going to win it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, is it going to be a blowout, or are they going to?
That's
no, it's going to come down to, like, 3 seconds left in the game or whatever, and Kanji's going to kick field goal and win it by, like, a point. Just kind of like when I was working with the Ottawa Rough Riders in 1992. We're out in Hamilton in the Eastern semifinal playoff game, and those balls and kicked field goal and won. They won to beat us by 1 point.
Wait, hold on. Robbie, how old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
38, my friend.
Oh, wow.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I thought you were like, never mind. Okay.
I thought he was 40. What? I thought
40?
He was 40.
Holy fuck. Gee, 40.
Well, you're talking about 1990. You're talking about 1992. Do you have any idea how many years ago that is?
Yeah, that was like almost 30 years ago.
Yeah, you were 8 when you were working with. When
no,
you were on the side
no, no. I was 14 when I. 14 when I started.
That's my point. You were a young man. You start out as a ball boy. You start out as a ball boy and you worked your way up. And congratulations to that. And you're very fortunate to be one of the greatest kickers of all time in the CFL, as Ballston is a coach now, isn't he?
Yeah, isn't he the coach for the Ticats, the kicker coach or something?
Yeah, isn't he? Isn't that what he is?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
Yeah.
I met him a few times in when I was out in Hamilton in 206. I met him a few times. And
Does he still have hair?
Not really. Not many. Not much.
He's true to his name then. He's true to his name then. Baldus. Yes.
Yeah, he's bald.
He is bald.
So Robbie and to Frank and John, both of you guys being Argo and Ticat fans, are any of you guys at all worried about Montreal, like down the stretch or in the playoffs?
No.
Always.
I'm not. Montreal ain't going anywhere.
Really? Did you see them on Sunday against the Riders? Their defense
is
like fantastic.
That was luck.
They have the number one defense in the CFL.
Yeah, but they don't have a quarterback.
Sure they do.
They have a guy coming.
Three of them, and none of them are any good.
Troy Smith is coming. He's coming down the stretch, guys. Wait, watch. Come playoff time,
he'll be ready. Do you think you'll have enough time to learn the book?
Right now, I listened to an interview from the Alouettes radio on last Friday with Jim Pop, and Pop said he's at 75% of the playbook now. That gives him at least, he's got still, what, 5 or 6 more weeks to go to the playoffs?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, he's gonna start in the playoff game against Hamilton in the first round, and they're going to go in there. They're going to
whoop the Ticats. Mike, your theory has a lot of weight behind it, because all one has to do is look at what Chloris has done.
Yep, I'm telling you.
Right?
And exactly. And then
it's possible.
Because if your defense is playing the way theirs is, I mean, really, the Riders scored 12 points? 12? Come on, man. They were averaging 35 points in the first half of the season per game.
Well, to put what you're saying in perspective, and this is what worries me about the Argos and when the playoffs come around, how hard is it to react and to adjust to a new quarterback if you get too far behind in one game? So far, the Argos have done a masterful job of coming back with a lot of points, 21, 22 points, you know what I mean? What happens if they run into a young quarterback that tears them to shreds in the first half and they don't have enough time to set up their, you know, their history on this other guy? You know, their book, their adjustments, their, you know, what happens then?
Wait, for who? For Smith?
No, for the Argos. I think the Achilles heel for the Argos is a young quarterback who has a hot hand in the playoffs. That's the only thing that's going to destroy the Argos, in my opinion. What do you think, John? I hear you. I hear the "eh," which means no. What do you think they can?
First of all, the Argos are going to clinch first this Friday. The Ticats are going to clinch when they played Montreal back to back. Montreal is going to be in a battle with Edmonton, and probably Edmonton might squeak it out. The only problem is that Edmonton doesn't really have anything to do with playing any more East teams that can make any sort of difference for them. They're stuck playing the West teams. But Argos have the division this Friday. They're going to probably go into Guelph, and unfortunately for us, probably lose that one. But the Ticats, they're going to be brought down to earth. Scott and the coaches are not going to let the Argo players relax on this one. If anything else, they know that it's important to play good in front of a big Toronto crowd if you want these people in Toronto to keep coming back. So it's over for the Ticats as far as first place goes. And like I said, guys, they'll win their battle for second place for home playoff spot when they play Montreal back to back, and they will probably take both those games.
Wow.
I hope
and you know,
really?
Well, you know,
the Ticats are going to sweep the Montreal Alouettes. You got to be kidding me, Frank.
No,
that's John.
They're getting their stuff together. I think the Ticats, their defense has improved drastically. I mean, Montreal's is pretty good too, or is it really Saskatchewan? Just like I said, they always show their colors, Frank. You were talking them being something like 13-4, or playing Joseph Meal, maybe even 14.
No. What I said was, and I'll stand behind what I said, I asked the question, what are they going to beat, 12-6, 11-7, 10-8, and I was waiting for you to make a decision.
I heard it started at 15-3,
yeah,
14-4.
No, it started at 17-1. It started at 17-1. We worked our way down that low. Because
right.
You weren't answering,
so,
remember? You weren't answering. But you know what?
I still
point taken. You're right. I thought the Ticats would be a lot better than they are right now.
Yeah,
that's why
I'm
a little bitter and a little angry towards Saskatchewan.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm a little bit. The only shock that I have is Winnipeg being. Well, then again, they've had so many internal problems and stuff that I can't even get into. At the beginning of the season, I really thought that Montreal, with the coach that they started off with, would be in last place. But they are turning it around a little bit. Are they turning it enough that they're going to be any sort of serious threat in the playoffs? No. I think, and I hope, yeah, and let me tell you guys, if Edmonton ends up playing Hamilton on the crossover, I won't be surprised
if it's deja vu.
You what?
There's no way Montreal is going to miss the playoffs. They have the number one ranked defense, and it's not even close. They're like way ahead of BC at number two. And look what happened Sunday. All right, the game was 15-12 or something like that. I don't know what it was. It was like
it looked like a hockey game.
Yeah, they had freaking what's his name Kniesbanger starting at quarterback, and they still won. Man, they had no offense whatsoever, and their defense absolutely shut the Riders down. Now,
wasn't it 4-3
you can see what you
want
to feel about the Riders, but seriously, I mean, come on.
Look,
you know.
the Montreal defense has been fortunate enough to always be playing the opposition when there's a new quarterback for them or their running back, like Sheets, wasn't playing. And I think that's their biggest problem right now with the Riders. And we saw how Sheets carried the team.
Absolutely.
In the
that
first five
problem.
Games of the year.
They don't trust
so,
Garrett.
The defensive numbers for Montreal are not all they're cut out to be, guys, unfortunately. I saw some of the games that they played. It is what it is. They played out the way they played out. I'm not going to say that, you know, they're the best defense in the CFL. I don't think so. I think the best defense in the CFL is the defense that can perform four games on a row straight against the West teams. All right.
No, come on. John,
no.
Let's not forget Kerry Joseph threw two touchdowns.
Hey,
Riley
Mike,
was
Mike,
went playing
when
well
I
before
see Montreal
he got hurt.
Go, when I see Montreal go out west and play all the Western teams four games in a row, then I'll look at their numbers and say they're a great defense. Okay? Right now, wait till Montreal starts playing their road games again. They're not that great on the road. They got lucky with the Toronto-Argo game that they won here. It was really unfortunate. Our defense didn't show up. Their quarterback played great. But, you know, I'll break this down. They're good, but are they the best in the CFL? No, I don't think so.
Okay, Frank, look at the help that Toronto's defense gets from their offense, right? Look at the scoring. Against Edmonton, Toronto scored 34 points. Against Calgary, 33. Against
Saskatchewan 31.
They scored those points because the defense got them the fumbles, they recovered the ball, or they intercepted. Okay.
Yeah, but the problem is on the flip side, look how many points the defense gave up. Against Saskatchewan, they gave up 29. Against Calgary, they gave up 27. Against Edmonton, with their terrible offense, they gave up 22. Right? Look at what Montreal's done. Montreal held Saskatchewan at 12. That was half of what they did, what the Argos did against the Riders. Previous.
When Montreal plays in Saskatchewan, how many points did they get? That's what I want to know from you. I don't recall the game. Anyway, that's my theory.
I think to bring the point home that to connect the dots here for Mike, if I may, there's a new quarterback on the horizon that hopefully will make that defense look good by virtue of how many points he helps put up on the board. And I think that's Mike's point. And I'm inclined to agree with you, Mike, that right now what Montreal's doing is they're doing it all on defense. They're not getting any help from the offense. And in regards to Mike, and on the same token, though, Mike, you have to admit that part of the problem with the Argos allowing a lot of points is that the offense is firing blanks and giving bad field position where the defense has more difficulty containing the offense. So, you know, again, I guess what I'm trying to say is
that
for a team to win, there has to be a combination of both. For a team to win, there has to be a combination of both. So that long-winded comment that I made, that's where I'm ending up, is I'm basically saying that the Argos have a defense and an offense that's like a marriage made in heaven. And they've been doing it without great special teams. But I have to admit, that guy, did a pretty good job this past weekend for the Argos.
Man, who are you talking about?
Trent Guy.
Oh, Trent Guy, okay.
I'm just saying that I love the Canadian Football League, and the biggest reason why I love the Canadian Football League is those three downs. Three downs really, really accentuate how bad your defense or your offense is. It accentuates it. If you have a shitty defense or offense, the three downs makes it really, really show up.
So as good as the Argos have been playing now down the stretch, I think they only play Eastern teams now from this point on. So do you see them losing to anybody because they have two?
Sure, they're going to lose. They're going to lose to a team here and there. No big deal.
You don't think they can run the tables? Because I don't see how they could.
It doesn't matter. All the Argos want to do and all they've ever done is win when it matters. What you're going to see is that the less it matters, the worse they're going to play.
So as a fan, it wouldn't matter to you if they got to 14-4?
Nah, it doesn't friggin' matter. You know what matters to me is they play well enough to entertain me while I'm there, give me something to cheer for. Hey, listen, I'm pretty grateful, okay? And I want this for every CFL fan, and I mean every team. What better thing can you ask than have a team that actually has a chance to win the Grey Cup? And right now I count at least 7 teams that could win the Grey Cup. As crazy as you guys think I am.
I'm going to be the devil's advocate here, Frank, and I'm going to say to Mike, damn right it matters if we go 14-4. I would love it so I can rub it in the Ticats fans' face. Every time I see them, I'll remind them, Grey Cup champs, 14-4, in your freaking face. Yeah, it matters. It damn right matters. If you're in the stands shouting out the numbers, and as you can shout the scores like we like to do to the Calgary fans when they decide to. Yeah, we remind them of the score, okay, of the Grey Cup score. That's a burn. That's a rub. To say that you're 14-4, sure. Last year they were Frank. They were mocking us because we were 9-9.
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely, and that's why I love the fact that we won the Grey Cup at 9-9. That's what I'm trying to say. That's exactly what I'm trying to say.
Wait,
at the end of the day,
what
really matters, John? John, what really matters? What matters to you? I'm going to speak. I'm going to speak on your behalf now. What really matters is if the Argos don't win the Grey Cup, as long as they beat Hamilton, so that Hamilton doesn't win the Grey Cup, that would be your second best, right? Right?
Robbie, what do you got to say?
That's the only thing that matters.
Exactly.
If there's a rivalry, you have to be hardcore about it.
You're 100% right. No, John, I don't disagree with you at all.
Wait, wait. So the
if
rivalry is really
that
like
way.
I thought you guys had more of like a friendly rivalry. It wasn't like
I
actually,
no.
Calgary
I don't know. I don't know.
No. You're listening
from?
To me too much, Mike. You're listening
oh, okay.
to me
that's right.
too much.
Yeah, Frank. Frank is going to get to feel what the rivalry is when he comes to Guelph, and he'll even feel it more if he's hanging in there and he'll come with us next year to Hamilton to be in the full atmosphere.
How about
of,
coming to
visiting.
Ottawa?
Ottawa, yeah, we'll definitely be coming to Ottawa. No, no,
red
you, oh, no problem with that, Rob. I'll definitely be visiting Ottawa. That's not even a question about that. I want to see that new stadium.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm still dying over the fact that I got bad news and I won't be heading out to Winnipeg to see them on the 19th. I can't get anything in the front row, and the ticket brokers in Winnipeg are being real pricks. So
how dare they not give John what he wants?
Wait, so hold on, you're not going to go just because you can't sit in the front row?
That's right.
Well, listen, Mike, I've learned from so many years of experience that there's no point unless you can be in some sort of a visual effect for the players to let them know that you're there. Okay, and when I'm at a game, Mike, I'm not the type who sits back and just watches. I'm there with my cowbells, my tambourine, my scarves.
You could be in the upper deck. They're all going to know you're there.
Mike.
No,
Mike,
they won't,
Mike.
Bro. Unfortunately,
yeah, they
know. Mike,
you don't
that
understand.
Way.
John, you're going to be like the only Argo fan in the stadium. Like,
No, that's not true. I got Winnipeg friends who are Argo fans. They're in Winnipeg.
What?
Yeah.
There are a lot of Argo fans.
Yeah. Hey,
did I just hear Frank say there's a lot of Argo fans?
Yeah.
Really?
Everywhere else except in Toronto.
Okay, I didn't know that. So the Argo fans.
Oh, okay, you up
can
there,
I,
Mike.
Can I, since you asked me the question, I'm going to answer the question. The same as I feel about the Maple Leafs, the same way I feel about the Maple Leafs. Now, I'm putting. I hope you can understand the spin I'm putting here. I'm a Toronto fan. Do you understand me? So anybody that used to live in Toronto that moves to a Canadian city elsewhere, like BC or Winnipeg or Edmonton or Calgary, they put on the Argo uniform. Most of them, a lot of them, some of them, I don't know, put it on because they're Toronto people.
Right. Okay,
you
so
know,
they're not
it
really
is,
fans
it
of
is.
The team, it's just representing
I don't
their
think
hometown.
So, I do believe that there are a lot of Toronto fans. And again, I don't want to get into that topic about how many fans are at the Argo game, because quite frankly, it's a dead horse and we've been beating it for a few weeks. But let's remember that we're not really seeing a true supporter, true supporters of the Argos because of, I believe, and this is all I want to say, is I don't think the environment at the Sky Dome the Rogers Center is conducive. By that I mean all the dates, the funny dates that they get. I think we're seeing Argo support at its worst because
okay.
of various factors. So,
how many people do you consider in the Argo fan base? Like, if I were to say that the Riders had at least 1 million, how many people would be considered Argo in the Argo fan base?
Well, hey, listen, go ahead, John.
Okay.
If
you're talking about a fan who's been following for 3.5 decades, if you compare them to when I actually saw 150 to 180,000 people at a parade, at a Grey Cup parade, when you consider the fact that they can sell out 50,000 if the atmosphere and the conditions and the dates are right, like they were
exactly.
in the McNall-Gretzky days, okay, where we had the ideal dates. We had the pickings over the Blue Jays because the Blue Jays had way more weekends. So the Argos got the ideal weekends that they wanted in the first 2-3 years, 91, 92, 93. They got beautiful dates, and they had packed houses, okay? So if the setting is right, if the atmosphere is set with the dates, with the advertisement, with all that stuff,
yeah
they can fill it in. How many are there? I would easily say that we can pack – no, if they get a 30,000-seat stadium as a new stadium, no issue
okay.
with getting
no, no.
at least 29,000, 30,000 a game.
At
no,
least.
John, I didn't mean, like, people showing up to the stadium. I'm talking about the overall size of the fan base. Like, the Riders have at least 1 or 2 million people that would consider themselves Rider fans. How many people would consider themselves an Argo fan?
Mike, have you looked at the – you seem to be a statistic mad guy. Have you looked at the TSN numbers for Argo games?
Yeah, they usually average around 600,000 to 700,000.
Well, what you should know, Mike, is that
a million? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, the Rider games are anywhere from 1.1 to 1.5 million consistently.
And the Argos are 600,000.
Yeah, that's an overall across the country, but I'm saying
when you look at
merchandise
gauge,
sales,
right? It is a good gauge, right? I mean, you know, I have to give in to the fact that then maybe I'm overrating how many Argo fans there are. If those are true numbers, I can only interpret those numbers to mean that when the Argos are on TV, there's less interest than when there's Saskatchewan on TV.
Oh, I don't know where Mike got those. I'm trying to look them up here because I don't need to break them like that. All I've heard is that the Toronto market is number two when it comes to all Argo games being viewed on television. So, Mike, correct me if I'm wrong, but show me exactly where to go and see those exact numbers because TSN put out the numbers a month ago.
Yeah.
TSN put out their numbers a month ago, and they said that Toronto Argonauts were second rated as far as games go. Okay, on viewership.
Yeah,
right,
seven hundred thousand is a good number. I'm not saying it's a bad number, but
no, nobody's saying it's a bad number.
We're talking 400,000. Like Montreal and Hamilton usually get about 400,000 most of the time.
See, Mike, the other thing I got to tell you, and you compare, you know, Saskatchewan as the 1 million fan base. Well, Saskatchewan subtracted if they got a Major League Baseball team, subtracted when they got a Major League Basketball team, subtracted when they get four other Major League players.
John, you can't do that.
Exactly.
You got to stop doing that.
You can't compare them to the Argos. That's why in the
same aspect,
you just said, Frank, that you can't do that. You can't compare them with those against the Argos.
Here's where I draw the line. John, using that same rationale,
how come in Winnipeg, when the Winnipeg Jets debuted, the Bomber fan base didn't decrease? In fact, it went up that year, and they had a record number of profit. Yeah, they made a record amount of money. They made $3.5 million in profit.
First of all, the Bomber base is heavily there. It's grounded, okay?
Right.
We got two major league teams that are going on in Winnipeg. Heck yeah, I'm going to show up. Mike, listen, the only way I can be fair with you when you say things like that is you got to come up to Toronto. You got to go to Toronto and then go to Winnipeg and see the two difference in atmosphere of the cities and the hub. When you got shit going on like we have here, you can't use those comparisons.
Yeah, but John,
I get what you're saying. Like the Rider fans, the majority of them are outside of the province. The majority of them, like you go to Argo games, how many Rider fans show up when the Riders come? You know, it's about
across the country.
What do you
mean the majority outside? Listen, I mean the majority of the Rider fans are first of all, you're wrong. They travel very well, Mike. Believe me.
Yeah, but I'm saying
them.
Like they live like in other cities in large numbers. Like they're Rider fans in Montreal that don't even necessarily have
connections
to the province.
Their government was pushing out their people to go to other provinces to collect welfare. They sent it to Manitoba.
Oh,
they
man.
Sent it to BC.
Oh, come on,
the
John.
Okay, now we're getting political.
The farming
political.
Industry in Saskatchewan at one time was going downhill.
John,
they were getting
John,
subsidies
John.
That they weren't getting from the... Hold on, you want to hear the shit? Hear the shit. Don't cut me off if you want to hear the whole stuff. You can't say one thing that criticizes the league or the Argos, and then not want to hear the full explanation, guys.
No,
John,
it's not about criticizing the Argos. Please do not interpret anything that I've said as a criticism. And as far as I could tell, Mike was asking a question. And so you've answered the fact that the
Mike
Argos have a lot of handicaps.
Mike was pounding it with Saskatchewan being a higher fan base than Toronto.
John, you've made your point. You've made your point. The Argos have a lot of handicaps that other teams don't. Yeah, well, all I wanted to say and all I wanted to interject, and Mike can interject whatever he wants, all I want to say is this. The question was about fan base, all right? And all things being equal. See, because you and I are on the same bus, and then I just sort of get off your bus when it comes to that other stuff. When it comes to the fact that the Argos have not had the opportunity to be a team that's fan-friendly, all right? They're not a fan-friendly team by virtue of the handicap they have playing at the Rogers Center. We've cited all the reason. And I agree with John 1,000,000% about that. The rest of the stuff, it doesn't matter to me about Saskatchewan, doesn't matter to me about Calgary. I'm just talking about Toronto. And as far as I'm concerned, I believe we could compete with Saskatchewan. If you're talking about the Argos right now are 600,000 or 700,000, which you, Mike, said is a good number, and I agree with you. And if your numbers are correct and Saskatchewan has 1.1, I don't think with a proper stadium, with a proper media, I hate to bring this up as well because I agree with John 100% in this, is that, you know, if nobody knows the game's on, who the hell's going to go? I'm sure in Saskatchewan they have a countdown to the game, whereas in Toronto it's like, oh, there was a game last night.
Wow.
No, Frank. In Toronto, what they do to media, this media that they call themselves sports people, all right? Saw two articles in the last week. One from our Perry that we know, you know who I'm talking about, and another one from Mr. Cox. Yeah, Perry Lefko, Mr. Cox from the Star. These guys, they do their annual teardown, okay,
yeah,
of the Argos. They try to muffle it in between the lines, trying to give them a little compliment here or there. But in general, it's always a teardown, okay?
Yeah.
They don't look at the positive points. They don't, you know, they got, first of all, they both, you know, Perry, he's got a paycheck to earn. He works for the opposition network that doesn't want to highlight the Argos or the TSN or the CFL. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So I get it when it comes from him, but his articles suck. Okay, he missed out so many points in the article. Same with Cox, and this is just a prime example. What you don't see in Minnesota, Mike, is the local media and the press tearing down the Vikings in every chance. Okay, here
right.
It's done on a weekly basis. We got one or two guys in the Sun, which is a Toronto newspaper, that more or less are okay. Okay, this guy named Zicarelli that I follow, he, you know, but he's not really a fan. He follows the team and he's neutral to it. I get it. But we don't have any homers, if you want to call them. You go to NFL City, you got 90% of the friggin' sports guys are homers. And that's the way it should be. They should be pumping up their city. They should be pumping up their fans.
Well,
they should be ridiculed.
And
that's where I'm on the bus
John,
with John.
In Minnesota, that's not the case. Actually, the majority of the press here are very critical of the team. And
Mike,
you should see how much they're jumping all over the Vikings now for starting 1-3. It's unbelievable. But
Mike,
to your point,
if you
go to Sportsnet's website, they have a video on there, and they had Lewicki, I don't know the guy's name, but he was interviewing the former CEO of MLSE, and the topic they were discussing was, you know, bringing the NFL to Toronto. And they went into this long discussion about the Argos, and he said that during his tenure as CEO, he tried three different times to buy the Argos. And when they sat down and evaluated the whole team and the franchise and what it's worth, they said basically in the best-case scenario, the Argos could generate $1 million in profit. And he said that to get that, they had to work way too hard for it. He said we could, on the flip side, we could generate that same money hosting three major concerts at Rogers Center. So his rationale was pretty much the Argos just simply are just – basically, what he said was they're just not worth the time to invest because your potential of money is just not there. And then he went into a long dialogue about why the Bills should be in Toronto, and I don't know. But I hear what you mean because I saw it in that interview. Both the guys interviewing him were just – I mean, they were taking little pot shots at the Argos and the CFL whenever they could, and I get what you
negative.
Mean. But,
because they're
negative
not
stuff,
big league
man.
By their definition. They're not – the CFL is not big league by their definition because that's all there is to it. And as far as I'm concerned, all things being equal, where the Argos have a stadium that they have input into when they play, and a media that actually cares about what they're doing, we'll be fine. The Argos will be fine. You know, and $1 million, you know, that's just that's just their idea of what they think it'll be, but you know I don't agree. I think
it'll be higher now with the new TV contract. Obviously.
I truly think
that every owner, and we didn't touch anything about the ownerships that have been going through in the last two decades, which to me have been really the detriment of it all. They have been more or less guardians of this franchise, holding them off, staying alive, holding them off, being bailed out financially, whatever. But there's never been a stable owner, okay? We don't really have a stable owner right now. He is stably loyal, okay?
Well, he's basically just trying to keep the team alive.
Right. He's a fan of the league and whatever, and that's what
he's doing.
And this is the reason why
alive.
I believe that this is the hurdle with Brayley that they're going to jump, okay, and with Chris Rudge. These are serious players. Rudge is, first of all, if he's getting paid a salary of a president of a CFL, forget about it. This guy's got to be paid way over that. And if he's not, then Brayley should be paying him because he's overqualified for the position that he's in, truthfully.
Wait.
Okay?
So, John, you're not upset at the fact that the season tickets went down from last year?
Am I upset?
Yeah. Like, don't you think that's a knock on him and on his job?
No, the season ticket base went down, all right? That's what you're talking about. I thought you said season ticket prices. No. He's disappointed. That's not a knock on him. That is absolutely a knock on him.
Isn't his job to market and sell tickets? It's like directly his job.
Listen, that's a knock on exactly what we've been just talking about. The Toronto atmosphere, the media, it's a knock on them. They didn't push it after the Argos won the Grey Cup. Zilch. After the Argos won it, a week later, fell off the face of the earth, and we're talking Blue Jays, okay?
Yeah,
we're talking
John,
their signing.
We all know whose fault that was. That was the Maple Leafs making the playoffs, right? That's what made everybody forget. If the Maple Leafs never made the playoffs and people didn't get all excited about hockey, which isn't even a sport in my opinion, but nonetheless, yeah, I said
No, the Maple
anyway,
Leafs got knocked out, Mike. The Maple Leafs got
knocked
out before.
I know, but the fact is, you remember how excited everyone was? I mean, even from here, everyone watching the games was
blown away.
No,
but you know what?
Away.
That helped, dude. That actually, Billy, living in Toronto, I'll tell you, that helped because it got
that
people thinking sports. Yeah. Let me explain to you why. It got to help people thinking the atmosphere. They were hyped up, you know, 10,000 of them downtown outside the arena. And when they didn't get their high, they didn't get their rush at the end by having a playoffs and all that stuff, they clinged on and they joined the Grey Cup festivities. They wanted something to party with, and that helped. Okay,
whoa,
believe it or
John,
not.
Wait, what? No. The playoffs were in the spring. I don't know how that had anything to do with the Grey Cup.
Oh, you're talking about. Oh, yeah. Remember, we were. Okay, I'm sorry. What am I thinking of?
The Argos
had
already won the Grey Cup. I guess what Mike's trying to say is it stemmed the possible tide that might have been with the Argos post Grey Cup winning hangover. Was sort of absorbed and overrun by the success, as small as it was.
See.
But for Toronto hockey fans, it was huge.
I bet you people in Toronto would say what the Maple Leafs did in the postseason was a bigger deal than the Argos winning the Grey Cup. I mean,
absolutely,
honestly,
right? It was.
Yeah,
you
so
have
that killed
you
it. That killed the Argos'
you can't deny
momentum.
That. Yeah, and that's
no,
there's some truth.
Yeah, there is truth to that. I mean, because they don't consider, CFL as a major league compared to the NHL. You know,
but
they get
how do people consider hockey
earlier,
a real sport, though? I don't understand that. Like, can you guys explain to me what's
hockey
what's
a real sport?
Okay,
hockey?
Mike,
yeah.
Please don't.
Because in America,
hockey
is irrelevant.
Let's keep it in the context of fans and in comparison with the football fans. Mike, over here, everybody was talking about the fact the Leafs made the playoffs.
Right.
The excitement was drummed up by the media, who's had their own self-interest to make it so. The team was being purchased and was in the midst of being owned by two very big media organizations, Bell Media and Rogers. They were in the midst of taking over the team. All right.
Wait, what? Together?
So it was. Yeah.
Isn't Bell Media, like, aren't they rivals with Rogers?
Yes, they both own equal shares of the team, and the CEO or I don't know how they refer to him. I guess he's they don't talk about him as much now that Lewicki's here, but Mr. Concrete guy there, Larry Tannenbaum, all right, they goosed his percentage of what he owns to help him agree with them, you know, and let them purchase the team instead of him. And interest that he could coordinate. So it's like they own like 40% of the team or 45, and he owns like 10 or 15%.
Wow.
Okay.
So,
they both own it.
Why
so
is hockey more popular than the Canadian
Mike,
Football League?
But you see, Mike, this is what John's trying to tell you and what I'm trying to tell you, is the cards are stacked very heavily against the Argos in so many different ways for them to be successful. And it's just, John, and this is a new part of our conversation. They are dropping the price of the Argos down, and if I'm right, and MLSC does buy the team, which these two media outlets, these two media giants, one being Rogers and the other being Bell. Bell is TSN. They broadcast the Argos. TSN owns the stadium. I'm sorry, Rogers owns
Rogers.
The stadium. Rogers owns the stadium. And once they purchase the team, then you're going to see, then you and I are going to have the conversation. This is the conversation we're going to have if MLSC buys the team in a year or two. The conversation we're going to have is, what the hell happened? How come all of a sudden everybody's interested in the Argos? It's because people are going to know about the Argos. People are going to hear about the Argos. And they're going to build them up to be a big pro league that's fantastic for this country. And they're going to say all the things John and I believe in our heart, and they're going to publicize that stuff, the stuff that makes us CFL fans.
So are they going to convince people that football is better than hockey?
People are sheep. Haven't you heard?
Yeah, but I just don't understand why people in Canada are so obsessed with hockey. Like in America,
what they're
going to
do is they're going to make all these season season tickets holders buy a ticket or two for the Argo games if they want a season. What they did with the Raptors.
It's what they did with the Raptors. They did that with the Raptors
and the TFC and you know they spread it out. They got their websites. They got their all their sites.
The hook is the Leafs. And they'll do the bait and switch like they've done before, and they'll do it again. And you and I will have this conversation.
Isn't that a good thing, or you guys don't like that?
Yeah, no, I'm saying it's a good thing. It is a good thing. The only thing that I'm worried about, and John knows how I feel about this, I'm worried about them becoming another team like the Raptors, the you know, the Leafs look to be doing okay, at TFC, you know, a loser.
Okay, so where do the Argos rank? I mean, we know the Maple Leafs are number one, right? So
Maple Leafs number one?
Yeah, I'm talking about in the city of Toronto, like as far as popularity.
Okay. I thought you meant
so are the Argos
they're number
ahead
one
of the
in
Raptors?
Canada. They're not just number one. They're not just number one in Toronto. They're number one in Canada. There isn't a place they can't go. There isn't a place they can't go.
How do you rank?
Okay, here goes Mike.
Yeah.
Here goes Mike. I got a sandwich in my mouth while I'm telling you this, so forgive me. It's going to be the Leafs number one, Blue Jays number two, Raptors number three, Argos number four, and then you got the lonely Rock, Toronto Rock.
Where's TFC in that?
Where's TFC at?
Actually, you know what? Forgive me. Take away the Rock. TFC is
number
four. TFC is below the Argos.
Wow, really?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. I thought it was okay. All right, so... Frank, do you agree, or do you have a different ranking?
Here's why I will agree with John, and as I said, right now Argos are low on their potential is severely undersold.
Wow.
They are definitely a team that is oppressed by the circumstances that surround them.
So you don't. So if you feel like if MLSC buys a team, that'll change and they'll go up.
I believe that they could. I believe that they could go right. They could tuck right in between the Raptors and the Leafs.
Wow.
That's what could happen.
So you think they'll be more popular than the Blue Jays?
Well, you know what?
No. Can't because their Blue Jays are countrywide.
Yeah, you're right.
The Blue Jays is a Canadian team. It's not a one city team. So yeah, that's not going to happen.
I'm just like trying to get into the mind of like the mindset. Like, how can baseball and hockey be more popular than football? I just don't understand how
Frank,
that's possible.
Can I take this one here? Okay.
Go ahead,
Mike. You have to remember, and please remember this every time you ask yourself this question.
Okay.
Two decades of blackouts, home games, never seen on TV. Okay. It really pushes fans away. The kids.
Oh, no,
high school kid.
Let me just say, I get the Argo thing. I understand that. I'm just saying, in general, I still don't. Can you both explain to me why people in Canada are so obsessed with hockey? Like, just from an American
First of all, it's 6 months of our season.
Here?
It's 6 months of our season that, you know, we used to be able to play this at one point. Two decades ago, it was 7 to 8 months in a season, okay, where you can still be playing hockey. And it flourished because, again, it was localized. You couldn't get a basketball
hour
court.
Game.
You know, you'd, You know what I'm saying? You can't
right.
get a baseball field. You play it once or 1 or 2 months a year or 3 months compared to something that you do on a regular basis, and it's inherited in our chemistry here in Canada. You know what I mean? It's
okay.
there. Hockey night in Canada is a historical, traditional thing that we do up here, just
hey,
like
John,
perhaps you guys do Monday
John,
night football.
He comes
okay.
from Minnesota, where hockey's fairly popular.
Big. Yeah, but
even here,
like hockey's maybe third, maybe even fourth.
Really?
Yeah.
That's really good. So, I mean, you know, I remember the Minnesota No Stars day. Those guys. I know Minnesota has a hardcore fan base. They want.
I know,
their
but
hockey
even
team back.
Even but it's like a niche fan base. Like overall, I'd say in America, 7 out of 10 Americans probably couldn't name last year's Stanley Cup champion. I don't even know
Mike,
who won the
seven
Stanley
out of,
Cup.
7 out of 10 Americans can't name the president, so I'm not surprised with that one. Okay.
Eight
oh, come
out
on,
of ten.
That's a low blow. But I'm serious. But I'm saying like outside of Chicago and New York. Hockey is basically, it's not even on the radar. It's like not even close here.
Well, here it matters. You know, here
That's
it
so
matters.
Weird.
And it's yeah, but you know what? It is what it is. Like let's
Weather.
Be honest here. When it comes to sports
yeah.
is tantamount to hysteria, okay? And mass
right.
hysteria has struck the NFL, and the NFL's freaking lucky that mass hysteria is part of what generates the NFL, okay? And
yeah.
and let me say this, and this is something, John, I'll let John pick this up or let him add to this. The CFL keeps missing the boat on gambling. If they would tie themselves
oh.
to gambling, if they would tie
yeah.
themselves to gambling, the CFL would be more relevant.
Wait, how would they do that?
The same way they...
Well,
listen,
doing
we
it
got
slowly.
Lottery tickets here. John, tell him how you can buy tickets to the gamble on NFL games in Toronto, but you can't do it for the CFL.
What?
Well...
Is that a law
we
or something? How did that? What happened?
No, you can bet on ProLine on both games, on both leagues. But
what? Who do they advertise?
What?
But who do they advertise?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean,
yeah, well, they advertise the NFL. Okay,
Thank
they don't
you.
Advertise the CFL on ProLine, which is the lottery that they play up. You can play parlays and point spreads and stuff like that, or you can play in a pool that they offer. But you're right, Frank. And everybody knows it. The NFL would not have the attention that it gets if it wasn't for the gambling. The college games, in particular, in the States, don't get near the attention that they would, and it's just skyrocketed. Gambling was huge on football games for the last 30 years. But when it went legal and all these sites went on and casinos started putting the odds on a regular basis, it just exploded. You know?
Yeah, that's
and
true.
If,
gamble on college? Can you
Everybody
gamble on college football?
It's bigger,
yeah, yeah,
it's bigger than
huge.
NFL gambling.
I mean, think about it. Like, in America, like, honestly, the CFL is, like, comparable to Division II or Division III college
yeah.
football. Like, that's
yeah.
where it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, the interest level, like John said, it's totally about gambling. It's unreal how people gamble on football
well,
here.
Isn't that
Just
what the
insane.
Point I was trying to raise? But here in Canada, you can't gamble on the Argos or Montreal Alouettes.
Wait,
in the way
you
that you can,
or that no one does. Like I don't understand what's because John just said.
Well,
you could.
Okay, John. Again, John's the expert in the gambling. I'm not. But the biggest handicap that gambling on CFL games has is the handicap that they don't announce their injury lists the way they do in the NFL, which they're required to do.
Right.
Right.
You know,
which
you
the
guys could make
hate.
A ton of money gambling on the thing because imagine like the lines. Like most people probably don't even know who's on the team. Like you guys could make a ton of money on that, couldn't you?
Well, you know what? Yeah, you could. And people who are playing, yeah,
right.
you could. People are playing, but you know what? A game like the Saskatchewan Montreal, Mike, I kid you not, I took the Riders all the way through, and I
wow,
kept taking
really?
Them while the game was going. I kept taking them while the game was going on. Okay.
Wow.
And they still
Why?
Disappointed. Yeah. Yeah. So
didn't
Barry,
you watch
you know,
the game
get,
earlier this year between them? I mean, the Riders struggled so badly against them.
Listen, I didn't expect the Riders to go four-game losing streak. There's no friggin' way. And with Montreal not having Cavilio as their quarterback, no, I didn't think. I thought even without Sheiks, Durant could pull it off. And the
Whoa,
fact
John,
that it was going to be one of those
faith
games.
In, you didn't have faith in Niesbanger at quarterback? What's up? Come
Remember,
on.
The Riders are your team, boy.
I know, but sadly.
Dude. Dude, my image of a knees banger tells me that the guy's very nervous and can't be a very good quarterback just by his name alone.
Right.
Okay.
Isn't that, what's the guy's name really? Like Knees Wander? I heard that on Ryder Radio, like before they
or
played
was it
Dallas,
Passes Wander? Or is it Passes Wander?
Passes Wander.
Oh. Okay. It's getting
okay,
bad.
We're putting hate on Montreal. I'm sorry, Montreal fans.
Oh, how about the fact Montreal announced they won't be playing a playoff game at the Big O? I just had this kind of funny considering that they won't even host a playoff game, most likely.
Well,
I didn't hear that they won't do
they're
it.
They're not sure they're
going to
make the playoffs.
Yeah, they said if they do host a playoff game, they'll be playing it at Molson this year, not at the Big O, because they claim they're worried about too much snow on the roof, which I think it's funny because they never talked about that before this year when they know they're not going to get
any snow. How do they worry about the snow when it hasn't even arrived yet?
That's what I'm saying. Exactly. It doesn't make sense. It wasn't an issue last year when they hosted the East Final.
Let me ask you a question, Mike, to help you understand why Montreal did that. Even if they make the playoffs, how many home games are they going to have?
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
Right. But, I mean, they're only already game behind Hamilton right now, surprisingly.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm not, you know, but again, Hamilton's going to, they're going to get their playoff spot. They're
yeah,
going to take the.
Wouldn't you guys prefer to see the East semifinal be Hamilton at Montreal at Molson rather than down in Guelph in front of like a tent and a section of bleachers that look like they stole it from some high school in Texas? I mean, come on. I mean, that's
Mike, it is what it is, buddy.
I'm watching games at Guelph. It's unbelievable.
Mike,
I'm not gonna defend that because anything that you know puts this eye catch down, I'll go with it.
This is just a statement to the CFL. Okay, please stop with the touchdown Atlantic thing. That Moncton Stadium looks so bad. I was just like, what are they doing? You know,
it's a joke. Mike, that thing has to do with reaching out to those fans that actually tune in, and they're noticing by their numbers, like on TSN and stuff, that you know they got viewership out there. And like we talked about previous shows, they had the funds, the big bucks talking Moncton, but that's a pipe dream right now. It's a good advertisement. You know, it's a good advertisement. I think they should go play out in Halifax maybe next year, or even try to put something together with Quebec before Quebec gets their NHL team. That's my feeling.
Because
anyway.
I just remember turning that on the TV and was thinking, like, am I watching CIS football or CFL? I couldn't tell. I was like, well, what is this? You know, it's just, I mean. And
well,
speaking of that,
you guys
follow CIS at all? Or you guys, like, totally?
Yeah, I follow it a little.
What would you guys think about Western's
win
against Quinn?
Now that UFC has a team that actually can compete.
Do you guys think Western's going to challenge Laval this year? What was that, Frank? Did you just bust a nut? Like, what the heck?
You know, that's a silly question because McMaster's going to be in the mix.
McMaster's got an awesome kicker, Tyler Crepina.
How in the world did you even know that? I have no idea.
I just got to throw that out there because one of my guys is the equipment manager for McMaster University.
Oh, okay.
And Tyler Crepina played here in Ottawa for the Sooners when I was the equipment manager. And my buddy was telling me that he kicked a 60-yard field goal in Hamilton at Iverwind Stadium.
Wow.
Just like booted the shit out of the ball, you know? I just thought I'd, you know, try to get some words up in here since you guys are arguing back and forth about college ball and all this and that, you know?
All right, Rob, I got a question for you.
You're not aggressive enough, buddy.
Do you know, okay, this is for everyone, I guess. You guys aware of Will Finch, right, the quarterback at Western?
Yeah, I could play an interview of him if you want.
Right. Do you guys think that he could be the potentially a starting quarterback in the CFL?
I think you'll go right to the NFL.
What? You got to be kidding me.
You heard me.
Nah, there's the LSU – no. So we're going to ignore LSU quarterback, Alabama, Georgia. No. I don't think he's going to be going to NFL anytime soon. I think if anything else, they're going to maybe put him on a CFL team and prime him. He's got a long ways to go. That's too early to tell. That's a lot of pressure to put on a kid like that to say he's going to the NFL. Hopefully,
I'm telling you, he's going to the NFL.
And if I could just make a little plug for the CIS, if anyone gets a chance, if you go to their website, they have that Sports Rush, University Sports Rush on Sportsnet. That is a great show if you just want to. They just sort of like blitz through the league and do all the highlights. It's actually pretty fun to watch if you get a chance.
Yes. And you can Sportsnet 360. They have the CIS covered this year. Be able to watch a lot of games on CIS games this year. It'll be awesome.
So do they do the Vanier Cup, or is TSN doing the Vanier Cup this year?
I'm trying to remember. There's been a switch, but I think TSN still got the Vanier Cup, maybe. I know TELUS is the sponsor, and I know they're going to do it in Laval, and I know that I think TSN still has it. But Sportsnet has everything else.
Okay. So what do you guys have teams? Like, do you have schools, or do you have any, like...
Yeah, U of T, York University.
Okay. So
here in Toronto. We have U of T, York University, and, of course, you know, Guelph has a team, which is where Hamilton plays.
Yeah.
McMaster is Hamilton, actually. McMaster is the Hamilton team.
Ottawa has
West
Carleton
is in London.
Just
Justin Bieber's
Ottawa's
hometown.
Ottawa's got Carleton that just appeared this year. After
that's
like
right.
25 years.
They're on a test drive.
Yeah, they're on a sorry-ass losing streak, but you know what? They'll pick it up.
They're just starting out. They're just starting out.
You know,
they have the coolest helmets on the CIS. I got to give them that.
You think so?
Yeah, they got some. I like the white ones.
I don't even like their colors.
How do you not like black and white? That's like the classic hardcore.
There's not enough red in it for the red blacks.
Oh, Frank, you forgot. When you say their name, you got to yell at it because it's all in caps. You got Red Blacks.
Red Blacks.
Red Blacks.
Yeah.
Did you know that they actually put that out in the media and in their press saying that you have to capitalize the name? They made that a requirement.
Yeah.
Yeah, it has to be all caps.
Yeah. I was sitting back the other day and I was thinking, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to get a hat, a black hat, and I'm going to put all capital letters. I'm going to put red blacks right in the front, all in red, with a white outline around it all.
And as an Argo fan, I'll add another word in the back of the hat, S-U-C-K in capital letters.
Okay, that's not good. I don't like that.
I'm kidding, Robbie.
Okay, so this being an Argo show, John, Frank, Robbie, last big question for all of you guys. Will the Argos win the Grey Cup this year, and are we witnessing the birth of a new dynasty?
Oh, okay, that's not fair.
I don't think they'll win the Grey Cup this year.
Wow, who do you think's going to win? Are they going to be there? Are they going to make it to the Grey Cup?
They'll probably make it to the Grey Cup.
Okay.
Or, I don't know, it's tough, you know, like, at the beginning of the season, I thought Saskatchewan was going to pump it all and win it all, right? And all of a sudden, they're on, like, a five-game losing streak. I'm like, what the heck?
Oh, it's four, but, okay.
Four, yeah. I'm like, what the heck,
you know? Is this going to be another one of those where we make a prediction by accident, John?
I don't think you have to ask me that.
Did you hear Rob?
Did
you hear Rob's prediction? Rob said 5 instead of 4, just like you said 9-4 instead of 8-4.
It's going to be Calgary and the Argos in the Grey Cup.
And
I'm
going to
be Calgary and Hamilton.
I'm saying it's going to be Edmonton and BC in the Grey Cup.
Okay, there you go.
Edmonton.
If that were to happen, Mark Cohen's going to, like, call the game off and say, we're not doing this. Cause that's, seriously.
I'd be happy if Edmonton was in there, though.
Guys, if the Argos make it, which they will, it'll be just as good for the Rider fans because they love to hate Toronto. And they'll be cheering for anybody besides Toronto, even if it is. It won't
come
be,
on,
you know,
John. That's not true. You know that's not true.
You know
nobody
that's
hates the Argos.
Oh, they're going to cheer for. Listen, they're going to cheer if Calgary's in it. They're going to cheer for Calgary.
No
I
way,
you that.
John. I guarantee. Look, I follow the writers. I follow all the writers' sports shows. They hate Calgary with such a passion. It's unbelievable. And everybody
Mike,
there, they
been,
all say the same thing.
Mike,
they think the Argos
I've
are their second favorite team.
I've been in Grey Cups. I've been in Grey Cups where the Argos were in it, and it was Ryder fans outnumbered, believe it or not, Edmonton fans when it was the Flutie two back to backs.
Okay,
they were
well, John, that was a different time though. That was back when the Argos were like still considered a great team, and they were still recently coming off the Bruce and McNally years.
Dude, Mike,
they had Flutie.
Mike, every,
now
every,
it's like they're the lovable
losers.
They're the Chicago
every city
Cubs.
In Canada,
you know, they're like,
Mike,
hey.
Every city in Canada. Is their number one thing to hate Toronto teams? Okay,
yeah, but,
plain and
okay.
simple.
Okay, maybe
well, they hate Toronto
and Hamilton,
to begin with.
But if you go to Saskatchewan,
hate.
You ask them, who do you guys hate the most? Calgary, Edmonton, BC all come before any Eastern. They hate Montreal even more than they hate Toronto because Montreal knocked
They'll
them off twice.
They'll cheer for them. They'll cheer for
They'll
them.
Cheer
they
for
cheer,
the
Argos,
Ryder
fans,
I guarantee you.
The Ryder
if
fans were cheering for Calgary. When they were here in the Grey Cup here, they'll cheer for them
that was different.
When they're there.
That was, I guarantee you, if the Stamps beat the Riders in the playoffs, which they probably will, and it's Argos Stamps, that crowd is going to be pro-Argo. You're going to hear all these Argo chants. They're going to be, it's going to feel
so.
Like an Argo home game.
So. I hope so.
There's nothing that gets
hey,
Rider
what?
Fans blood boiling than seeing that black and red from Calgary, I'm telling you. That's their number one rival.
Yeah, well, you know, I that would be good for us, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it? So
actually, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be a detriment? Because don't the Argos play better when they're on the road and like adverse situations? Like,
you know what, Mike? If they're there, it don't matter. You know, it really doesn't matter. It the scenario, it just wouldn't matter. It's as long as they make it there. That's what it's all about.
That's it.
And
you know what, Mike?
There,
when the Argos, when the Argos show up the Grey Cup, they don't waste their time going there. They always win.
Yep.
That's it. Good way to put it, Frank.
So are they
don't waste their time.
Win.
While we're here, we might as well win. And
yep.
that's why people will hate the Argos. Very quick. We only got 2.5 minutes left. Do you guys, one at a time, John, headshots. Do we see headshots becoming a bigger, or will these last couple of what will be another fine this week against an Argo Cleo Lang, is this maybe, will it open the awareness to the players that they need to stop doing this? Accidentally
no,
or on purpose, doesn't matter?
No. Players should never hold back. They got to go full out all the time. If the league starts turning these guys, as a player, you can't hold your, you know, they coach them to go out there and hit and follow through the play. And here we are trying to ask them to, hold on. Break this play down. Am I going to get in with my shoulder, and am I going to get in with my helmet, you know, bending over? It comes out the way it comes out. These guys are not going in or psychologically thinking, what should I set myself up for? No, Frank.
Okay. How about you, Mike?
Okay, haven't you guys seen the picture of that hit by Cleon Lang, like that photo they have?
No, I haven't.
Nope.
Okay, you got to go to CFL's website and see it. But anyways, Riley's getting sandwiched, and his head is literally contorting, and his neck looks like it's got twisted. Yeah, it's really bad. I don't know.
Yeah,
I think for me...
The two hits in combination that were bad.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think Cleon Lang had ill intent. I just think that Riley got hit from the front,
perfect
and
storm.
Then he got pretty much hit right into Lang, and then Lang just... He just drove right into him like you're supposed to, but that was really a vicious hit. I mean,
the live show's over, guys. The live show's over, but you can carry on. To the people who are listening to the show live, you can listen to the rest of the show later. Just restart it. You can listen to it. Go ahead. Go ahead, Mike. Finish your thought. I'm sorry.
No,
I just wanted
to get
that.
Right. Okay. No, let's, I guess, Robbie's turn, right?
No.
Yeah, Robbie?
No, keep going.
So
I just said Lang's going to probably get fined but not suspended.
Yeah.
No, well, they don't suspend them for that. They only fine them.
Well, they don't. Wow. Didn't they suspend, what's his name? There was someone got suspended earlier.
Nope.
Yeah, the, what's his name? The guy from Montreal. Kyrissy Bear or something? Yeah, the number 34.
Did he not just get fined?
No, he had got fined multiple times.
Well, put it this way. The Kackert hit was only a fine. The Kackert concussion was only a fine. The same hit happened to Chad Owens, and I thought he had a concussion. It happened right in front of us at the Rogers Center where he took a helmet to the head and a helmet to the neck. It was the exact same thing that happened to Riley. And Chad Owens was trying to get the attention to the official. He was pointing at his neck, saying, he hit me right in the neck, you know, high hit. But there was no call on the play.
Yeah, Riley took it good, though. Like, his head was just like a bobblehead right in the middle, you know?
Yeah, and that's the worst thing that happens, and that's what causes the concussion. It's right to left.
But the player's not sitting there saying,
left to right.
In his mind, he's not saying, yeah, I'm going to hit this guy. I'm going to hit him helmet to helmet. I'm going to bust the shit out of his head.
Oh, maybe he did.
Yeah.
In this case, listen, not because I'm an Argo fan, but in defense of Cleo Lang, the first hit lowered Riley a little bit right into the wheelhouse of the helmet. If that first hit hadn't knocked Riley in a downward, more of a downward move, then there wouldn't have been head-to-head contact. It would have been head-to-shoulder contact, maybe even shoulder-to-shoulder contact.
Yeah.
But it was just one of those situations where there was one hit, and immediately after was a player coming ready to make contact. And as much as I blame Cleo Lang, I also blame the fact that it was bad luck for Riley because he was getting hit twice.
Yeah.
That's what it looked like to me. And I'm an Argo fan, so it could sound like I'm trying to defend what the Argo player did, but I want to make this clear. I don't defend any hits to the head, intentional or by accident. I have to assume there is no accident, in my opinion. In my opinion, we cannot assume it's an accident. We have to punish guys for doing it. And that way we eliminate the actors out of the equation.
Yep.
That's
all, right,
all I'm
guys.
Saying.
Good night.
Yes, good night to you, buddy.
Nice talking with you.
And yep. It was nice trying to hear you get a word in edgewise.
Yeah, I know. I tried. You know, I tried not to fall asleep while you guys were arguing back and forth and things like that. So
I didn't hear any snoring.
Well, you know, I kind of put the phone down and, you know, move my body around so I can stretch a bit and, you know, so. But, all right, we'll talk to you guys on Wednesday, man.
Ciao, buddy.
Take care, guys.
Take it easy, Rob.
Bye.
Okay, Mike has taken his leave. John, fun as usual. Friday, football game.
Is that how we football. Finish off Fridays? I'm sorry.
It's not Friday. It's Monday. It's Monday.
Yeah, Rick, looking forward to Friday. I'm excited. It's been a whole month without a home game, so I can't wait to get it going. And looking forward to the week following. And it's been a good show. It's been a good night. Nice talking to you. Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for being on. That's John Granger. You've been listening to Candid Frank Live. It's our Monday show. We went a little bit over, so for those of you that listen to the recorded program, you're listening to what the live people couldn't hear. But once in a while we go over, and today was a good reason to go over, and we're going to go over completely so you folks can hear. Well, we talked about a couple of subjects, and you know, those subjects are important to us. The reason they are important is because, quite frankly, I'm not a big fan of headshots. I'll be honest with you. And like I said, it doesn't matter to me. And this is without casting any blame or anything like that. It's not about blame or anything like that. It's just about the fact that, you know, as fans, you know, we just want our team to win. It doesn't matter how they do it. When you calculate everything, in all honesty, that's what it comes down to. It really doesn't matter, at all. All that matters is that your team wins. That's what you want. And I get that. But players, you know, I think they have a right to feel safe on the field. They buy into the fact that it's a dangerous sport. But I would like to think that the danger in the sport is mostly based on accidents. Not intentions, if you will. So thanks for tuning into the program. We'll talk to you again next time on the other side. We got Wednesday coming up, and hopefully you'll join us then. Thanks for tuning in.
There's an unwritten code in Hamilton. If you live by it, chances are you've replaced the last beer in a cooler. You don't talk during the national anthem. You believe...
I am Ryder Pride,
the flag bearers of our league,
the spirit of our game.
I will deafen all foes.
You're listening to Candid Frank Live, streaming on Rouge Radio. We're the Argos cheerleaders.
I'm Quincy Hart, and I started I Believe in Me because I saw there was a need for us to believe in ourselves more than life teaches us to believe in ourselves. People believe in negative statistics, therefore they become statistics. Elementary school students and middle school students are failing and not passing their tests. High school students are dropping out at an alarming rate. The unemployment rate is at an all-time high. With self-belief, self-confidence, and an overall positive self-image, we can fix a lot of these problems that we're facing. With the positive self-image, that elementary school student and that middle school student will succeed in class and be promoted to high school. That high school student will complete high school and graduate.
Bring your passion! Bring your pride! Together we will stand as one united! Unstoppable! Undeniable! Home field advantage! We are the Eskimo Empire!
Are you here?
Well, now, are you sure there's any fish in here at all? Because we haven't latched into one today yet.
Tired of sitting on the sidelines? Want to be part of the game?
Be offensive. Be radical.
The CFL is back and more radical than ever. The action never stops. It's hard-hitting, high-scoring football. Get in the game. Wear the attitude.
Go, go, go. Woo! Be offensive. Be radical. CFL football. Get in the game.
You having a little popcorn?
The following is a message from the 2012 Grey Cup champions, your Toronto Argonauts. If you didn't hear your voice, there's still time to be a part of next year's crowd. It's okay to pile on. Get your 2013 season tickets today. Call 416-341-ARGO or go to argonauts.ca.
Argo!
Hey, Argo lifers, Argo fans, the Toronto Argonauts fan cruise is on the horizon. 7-night Eastern Caribbean cruise, February 1st through 8th. Argo fans, if you want to live it up, the ultimate cruise party on the high seas may be just what you need. Join reigning CFL Coach of the Year Scott Milanovich, the Grey Cup winning quarterback Ricky Ray, and members of the 2013 Argos cheerleaders on a 7-night voyage to some of the most exotic destinations in the Caribbean. Join the fun as we kick off the Argos Fan Cruise Week in Miami, Florida, with an action-packed tailgate party, including your newest friends. The party continues on board the Celebrity Reflection with exclusive events throughout the week that will have everyone talking. There is no better way than to spend the week by soaking up the sun, enjoying fine cuisine, hitting up the gym or spa, or simply partying the night away. Get ready to put your game face on and join the fun. For more information on pricing or to book, please call 416-929-1980, 416-929-1980, or toll-free 1-877-510-2751. That's 1-877-510-2751. Book early, because this is one huddle you can be a part of with the Toronto Argonauts.